I invite you to join me in this Advent litany. God of grace, as we light these candles, we remember your promise.
Your light shines within us.
You have chosen us to bear your love into the world.
Your presence grows within us.
We await the coming of Christ.
Your spirit moves within us.
We prepare for your coming in joy and simplicity.
Come, Holy Spirit, and transform us by your grace. Alleluia. Amen.
Please rise in body or spirit for the call to worship. When we look around, we see shadows of sadness, families who have lost loved ones, people in prison, people who are isolated and feel on their own.
When we look around, we see shadows of grief, people dreading the holidays because of painful memories, because they are recently divorced, because they don't want to spend time with Christmas alone.
In the face of sadness, we light a candle of joy.
In the face of grief, in the face of loss, we light a candle of joy.
May the light from this candle overwhelm the world.
May the light from this candle take the wall of God's glory on earth as it is.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, be not afraid. Please continue in prayer with me. God of love and abundance, you come to us so that your joy may be in us and our joy may be full. Fill us with your spirit that we may know your delight and rejoice in your presence and your grace. Speak your word to us and bless us that we may always be joyful, gentle, and prayerful in the spirit of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
come, O Keiki, come from out there, and come and join me up here. I'd love to talk with you a little bit. Ah, we go. First of all, let's give a high five to Ty. First week of our lecture. Second week, we had Isato. Is Isato here today? No, not here today. Let's give a high five to Malia. Well done, Malia, for today. And next week, Nathaniel will be our lector. Yay. So excited. So where's your brother Gabriel? Is he here today? He is
auditioning for like a summer ballet school in on the mainland.
Okay, so he's not here. So you may recall that 2 weeks ago when I was talking about the story of the Advent scene, in Bethlehem, and I said, who are the main characters there? And anyone remember what Gabriel did? What did he do?
Told the shepherds that baby Jesus was born.
Right, but our Gabriel right here 2 weeks ago, what did he do? Anybody remember? There it was. Yes, Kalei, he went up and he went, the angel Gabriel. There's something about this family, because I want to tell you a story about not the angel Gabriel, but about a person that is said to have also been there whose name happens to be?
Bridget, really?
Yeah, well, it's Bridget, a D, not a T, but really, yeah. So there is this story that, as you know, we get to the inn, right? And what does the innkeeper say? No room, no room, no room, no room. And what does the innkeeper say? But I do have what for you? A stable, right? So I do have a stable for you. Can you imagine? You come into town, you're looking for a place, you know you got to give birth, and they say, oh, by the way, there's no room, but out there in the stable, no problem. You just go on out there. How generous am I? And so out they go into the stable, and here's the story, and we don't actually, it's not in the Bible, but there are traditions that tell us that there was a woman whose name was Bridget. And Bridget worked for the innkeeper. And Bridget is kind of going, well, that's not very nice. That they got to go out to the stable and we can't find any room for them. So while Mary and Joseph, bringing their donkey along, head out to the stable, Bridget follows along behind them. And while Mary and Joseph are trying to figure out how are we going to give birth to this child in this place, Bridget comes along and takes all the straw and everything else to make it as comfortable as possible. And when Mary begins to go into labor and begins to give birth to this child, Bridget is there to hold her hand. And when Mary is saying, I don't know if I can do this, Joseph, what is going on? Bridget is there to say, you got this, you got this. And when the child is born, the person that receives the child first is Bridget, who then walks the baby Jesus over to his mother so that he can be there with his mother in the very beginning. But the very first person that holds him is Bridget. That's the story that has been passed on in tradition from many different places. And what I love about that is in the worst of situations, because let's face it, giving birth in a stable is not an ideal reality. When that time comes that you all are welcoming a child into the world, a stable is not where you want to be. But it's where they were. And in the worst of situations, we can be there to hold a hand, say, it's okay, you got this, let me make you as comfortable as possible. In the Christmas story that we tell, it's all about these characters that bring this child into this world, and sometimes we realize that there are characters in our lives that nobody recognizes and nobody knows, but they're the ones that have given us the most kindness when we most needed it, the most support when we were feeling most lost, the most love when it felt like it was a world without love. So when you all head over to continue practicing for the extravaganza that will be next Sunday, right, Shauna? Extravaganza. Lights. Simple is beautiful. When you go practice that, I want you to think about how are the ways that we can be like Bridget, that we can be like Bridget, that we can be there to help, to support, to love, even when things are difficult and hard. So on your way over, let's take a moment, stand up, pass the peace to one another, and make sure that you have time to be with one another today. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For God is my strength and my might. God has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to God, call on God's name, make known God's deeds among the nations, proclaim that God's name is exalted. Sing praises to God, for God has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Here ends the reading. Today's New Testament reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is his hand, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the shaft he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Here ends the reading.
Thanks, Malia. So lovely to have you sharing with us and to have your mom and Kavika helping with the candle lighting today. Hello, everybody out there in the Zoom world. Love to see you all. How many are there? There are 40 devices and 60 or so people here. That's really quite lovely. So you all know how much I love trees, except for those that I don't. And there's one tree in particular that has caught my ire of late, and that tree is the African tulip. Now, I know many of you think, oh, it's so beautiful, those lovely flowers, they're really orange and pretty, and it's an invasive. It's an invasive that comes to us not by the winds and the waves or being carried in the bellies of a bird or anything else. It is an invasive that came to us intentionally, was intentionally brought here at the end of the 1800s, early 1900s. Leading botanists in Hawaii thought, this is a good plant for us to have. And they brought seeds from East Africa, and they brought seeds, 30,000 of them, from Indonesia, and they began to plant African tulips all over the islands because they thought this was a good thing. Most of the invasive species that we have here, trees and plants, are things that came to us because we thought they were good things. All of the yellow ginger, love the yellow ginger, beautiful fragrance and everything, that is destroying the jungle, the forest, the tropical rainforest at the volcano and many other places, came here with best of intentions. The partner of the first superintendent of Volcano National Park at the turn of the century thought it would be pretty outside their cabin of where they lived, and so brought a plant that is now taking over our forests. Eucalyptus, ironwood. They were brought here because the hillsides were already horribly destroyed by other invasives, cattle, goats, deer, and erosion was happening in everywhere, and because of that, they needed some trees that would grow and stabilize the soil, and so we brought in lovely fragrance of eucalyptus, and we brought in ironwood trees that truly are ironwood. I have seen them break an axe. They all were brought with the best of intentions. And the African tulip, why? Because it grows so very fast. It grows so very fast. And because it grows so very fast, like the eucalyptus, like the ironwood, it has the ability, therefore, to grow fast and stabilize hillsides and soil. Of course, like the eucalyptus and the ironwoods, it had other things that made it really adapt well. The ironwoods and the eucalyptus, they are what we call allelopathic, meaning that when they drop their leaves and their needles, they have substance in them so that nothing else but them can grow. Nothing else. They kill the soil except for themselves. And the African tulip, its seeds can grow. It does not need sunlight for its seeds to grow. So we can grow in the shade. Other plants need sun. It doesn't need it. Happy in the shade. And its seeds, if you've seen them, have those little whispery paper-like parts that blow in the wind for miles. And so one tree doesn't just drop its seeds here. They go off into the wind where they can find a shady place and start up again. And even more so, it sends out its roots thin, far, and wide. And from its roots come up, whoop, little shoots. And those little shoots become trees very quickly. It is an invasive plant. I should probably stop ragging on the African tulip tree. It didn't do this on purpose. It's just being who it is. And maybe we should praise it for just how well it seems to be able to adapt. It adapts so well that it can take over and dominate a forest or wherever it lives. It has no internal moral code that says it should be cooperative or collaborative. It is not a big fan of diversity. It's quite content with its own singularity. It is a plant that is more than happy to spread its roots, send its seeds, do whatever it can to control as much as it can. And guess what? There's probably some parallels of an invasive plant like the African tulip in the human world, wouldn't you say? The doctrine of discovery, which was used to justify all the colonialization of the Americas from Europe and much more of the world, that was an invasive saying that I can do whatever I want. Manifest destiny marching itself across a continent, across an ocean, is certainly one of those. Any form of white supremacy in its different forms, whether it be slavery or the white man's burden, or even missionization that has happened around the world. These are all ways in which those that feel that what they have is most dominant and should be dominant are imposed upon others. In the time in which John is doing his baptism thing at the River Jordan, the invasive of that time, the invasive that was willing to march wherever it wanted to go, and spread itself as far as it could. The invasive that was willing to say that it is my way and my way only that is superior. The invasive that was willing to control all that was in its way was the Roman Empire. That was what was happening in John's time. When John is saying these words that Malia read for us, it is the Roman Empire. But for the people of Palestine, Rome is just another one in a long line of invasives, of empires that have tried to put their way upon them. Back in the days of Egypt, it was Pharaoh and the Egyptians. After that, when they entered into the Promised Land, we certainly had the Assyrians, we had the Babylonians, and following them we had the Greeks, and now the Romans. The Romans are not particular the only bad seed here. They just happen to be pretty good at it. And they have that attitude similar to the invasive trees that says that wherever I go, I am right. Wherever I want to go, I can go. Whatever is in my way, get out of the way. And that would go not just for empires. That goes for people that we know, for communities that we know. That goes for the people that choose to get into bed, as was happening with all the sycophants that were there, excited about being there with the Romans and having control because the Romans had control. All of that is an empire way of thinking that John is railing against. I think I would be scared to be in the desert when John is preaching. I think he would really make you stand on your toes and really wonder, is it safe around here? Because he is so fiery. So Malia says, even now, repeating the words of John, even now the axe is being laid to the tree, and all trees that do not bear good fruit are going to be taken away and burned. Whew. I love that the end of the scripture, it says, and with exhortations like this, John spread the good news. Can you imagine if he was spreading bad news? So even now the axe is being taken to the tree, it says. And I must tell you that that imagery is fairly violent imagery to me. I'm longing for the day when we can get away from the imagery that has to do with beating things down and everything else. But this is the imagery that John gives to us. An axe is being laid to the tree. And normally, when you hear a fiery exhorter like John the Baptist, who is telling you that an axe is being laid to the tree, you know what is next. You know what is next. That is when that person in exhortation says to the folks, it's time to take up our axes. It's time to go and overthrow the oppressors. This is Legolas to the Rohingya saying we need to do this for Frodo. And as we approach the forces of Mordor in Lord of the Rings, this is William Williams. Is that his name? That Mel Gibson played with all the fellow Scots going against King Edward I in Braveheart. This is Simba and Nala pulling together the meerkats and the warthogs and all the other animals to stand up against Scar and all of its people. The righteousness of our cause would allow us to take up arms, to take up the axe. That's what we would expect of John. John turns the table on us. John turns the table on us because what he says is the way that we are taking the axe to the tree is by being exactly the opposite of the empire. Not doing as the empire has done, but just doing it to them. But we are just the opposite. So if the empire is such, if that way of invasives is such that you are self-centered, then John says you shall be other-centered. If you have two coats, give one away to someone who has none. If the way of the empire is rapacious and takes whatever it wants, John says you instead shall live and share to the tax collectors. Take no more than is your due. Don't take more. Live in balance. If the empire says, I can go wherever I want and do whatever I want, John says to the soldiers, those who are the epitome of the empire, you shall live within your means. You shall live within your means, and you shall not enter into a community with lies and deceit. You shall be one of them. John doesn't say, even though it would be so tempting, now you've got everybody's attention, to take the axe and go and swing the axe. Instead, he says, just do the opposite of the empire. Just do the opposite of the empire. And speaking to the people that are there in Palestine, the folks of Judaism, of the Jewish people that are in front of him, he is not saying anything they haven't heard before. These are the words that their prophets have been telling them for centuries. Amos says, let justice roll like a river, righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The psalmist says, let kindness and truth meet and peace and justice kiss. What an image. Peace and justice kissing. Truth will spring out of the earth and justice shall look down from heaven. Isaiah says, learn to do what is right. Seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Zechariah, this is what God has called you to, administer true justice, show compassion to one another. And Micah, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. They have heard these words. They have heard these words, and though that Machiavellian hope may still be there that somehow the end will justify the means, what John is saying is that is not the way of God, nor is it the way of God's people. And so what John is saying there at the River Jordan with these folks that are gathered together with him, whether they be the peasant or whether they be the Pharisee, whether they be the soldier, the tax collector, whoever it is, what he is saying is, if this has been your way, but you've fallen away from it, you get a mulligan. You get a do-over. Go ahead. Start to live differently. And if this has not been your way, if you've lived an entire life living the way of the empire, taking everything that you can for yourself, invading wherever you want, well, now you get a start over. Not a do-over, a start over. You get to start over. Because what John recognizes and what so many of us recognize is if we want to change things, we have to oftentimes begin with the changes in our actions. We sometimes think that it's supposed to be we change our heart and our actions will change. Indeed, that is true. But sometimes, as a 12-step mantra tells us, you need to fake it till you make it. And so John is telling folks, take your mulligan, take your start over, and let us begin to do this. You know the way. You know the way, he is saying, that you need to live. If the empire is going to be greedy, if the empire is going to be self-centered, if the empire is going to run roughshod over one another, you shall be just the opposite. That is who we are called to be. But John knows one more thing, and we all know this too, is that if you have made that your life's goal, to do all that which is right and just, it can burn you out. It can send you into a place of exhaustion and disillusionment and even anger if you are just doing that over and over and over and not seeing the change that you know needs to happen. It can burn you out if all you are doing is your actions. And so John says, there's good news. The good news is one who is coming. One who is coming who I am not even fit to untie the thongs of his sandals. One who is coming who shall give you a place for your spirit to soar. Shall give you a place for your heart to be transformed. Will not just teach you how it is we are to engage in transformative actions of justice and peace, but will actually be that place where you can find your own passions on fire, and you can find rest when you are weary, and you can find someone who will carry your burden with you when you are tired. That one That one is coming. The promise that John is giving to all of us is not only are we to fake it till we make it, but the point of the matter is once we fake it till we make it, there is indeed one that is greater than all of our actions that will welcome us and call us home into arms of love where we will find that rest and the ability to renew and rejuvenate. And so I think about us. We all get John's message. We all get John's message. Why did 50 children get adopted out in Waianae by the members of this congregation and now another 12 are being asked to be adopted? Why did we do that so quickly and with such joy? Because we get that message to go and try to do the things that will make the world different. Why is it that our members are there standing at the Capitol, standing at the Makalapa gates, demanding that we need to be taking care of our aquifer and that something needs to be done with these fuel tanks and this has to stop? Why is that? It's because we understand John's message, but how many of us, in the midst of all of that, are tired, we're exhausted, we're disillusioned? So perhaps there's no better time than Advent. This season of preparation, this season of anticipation, this season of expectation, this season in which we recognize that there is one, there is a way, there is a call to be that is not just our actions, but is actually the transformation of our heart. That we are indeed called to match heart and actions together, and we are called to this one who speaks to us. Love speaks to us, love, and invites us to be in all that we do and to be in all that we are. Love. Amen. Hearing us sing that. Let's turn ourselves to a time of prayer. I have some prayers that have been sent to us, sent to me to share with you all. Carol Lau sends this prayer for her daughter-in-law, Andy. Some of you have known that Andy has been dealing with a medical condition called dystonia for the last year or so that has impacted the way her muscles work and great pain and everything else. She had successful brain surgery this last week. And now there's a miracle of a battery that has been attached to her brain that is basically bypassing all the bad signals to give good signals so that she can get through that dystonia. So Carol says prayers of gratitude for successful surgery and for this miracle. So God, hear our prayers. We know indeed that we are holding in prayer the folks throughout the Midwest, so many states that went through this horrendous storm, a tornado that went for 220 miles, that is unheard of. And so we know that many of them are dealing with loss of property and definitely loss of life. We are grateful that Mary Reese's granddaughter, who happened to be vacationing there at that moment, Olivia, got shelter and is okay. So for all those folks suffering in that and for those who have come through, God, hear our prayers. We pray for Richard Jackson, who is Zooming with us from his hospital room there at Kuakini, who had to be admitted to the hospital for a mild stroke and some heart issues this last week. So we pray for rapid healing for Richard. God, hear our prayers. And Mark and Sergio, send this prayer from Wisconsin, that we remember Harry Sunderman in prayer. Harry is the elderly father of a dear friend of theirs. Death is imminent. Please remember him and his children and the grandchildren at this sad time. God, hear our prayers. Are there prayers here in our congregation? Yes, Jeanette, there you go.
So I ask all of you to keep our friend Yanta in Madagascar in your prayers. We try to talk to her every week. And anyway, she really needs our prayers. Their country is falling apart. There's disasters, environmental disasters, economic disasters. And it's very difficult hearing her. So for those of you that know Yanta and want to drop her a note, she loves it to hear from us. And she very much loves this church. So please keep Yanta in her prayers.
God, hear our prayers. Are there others in here? Yes, Kirsten.
Bear with me, I have several prayers. The first prayer is for my mother-in-law, David's mom, Tutu, who's there, to please give her strength to enjoy the symphony this afternoon. It was hard to do two things in one day, and that's getting harder. So if you could just keep Tutu in your prayers that she's able to enjoy each day fully. I also ask for prayers for my stepfather, who's been battling multiple myeloma for 5 years, and he goes through another round of radiation this week. So keep Grandpa Ned in your prayers to my kids. And then if you could please keep in your prayers our Hanai daughter Michelle and her husband John and baby, who leave in 24 hours from Germany. She's in the last countdown of packing up everything. And they're going to fly from Frankfurt on the 18th and get here and stop in California, where they will be visiting with Michelle's biological family for the first time in many years. So you can keep that visit in your prayers. And then after a few days there, they will arrive here.
Next Sunday.
On Sunday, a week from today.
Yep.
So that's a lot of travel and a lot of change. And if you could just keep all three of them in your prayers, and that the 18-month-old allows them to rest a little along the way. Thank you.
And if you could hold us in your prayers as well.
Sorry, I have one more.
They're coming to
We need your prayers as we do our last minute today, baby-proofing of the house, because it's big change in our house. And I have one more, I'm sorry.
Go for it.
The last one is just, if you could please pray for our state leaders, our national leaders, our military leaders, and global leaders, as they, for calm heads, clear hearts, as they come together on so many issues, including, you know, the Red Hill one, but also globally, that this, during this time, that really the Spirit of Christ can reign in everybody's hearts. Thank you.
God, hear our prayers. Lee.
Prayers for our dear friend, Kiyomi Luke, who broke her back about 2 months ago, and she was so determined to get home, and she has arrived home, you know, to no help from caregivers who cook for her three meals a day. So I'm just hoping that she is able to successfully, you know, make that transition to home. We are kind of her family because she really doesn't have anybody else on the island. And also I heard from Grace Miller's niece, if anybody is interested in writing her a note, she's in the memory part of this facility that she lives in now, just made a move over there. But they said she still loves cards and calls, so let me know if you'd like that.
Thanks, Lee. Shanti, we see you up there. Go for it, Shanti, unmute yourself.
Okay, I'm unmuted, right?
You're good.
Okay, so I have that the tornadoes, there were several that went through 8 states for 200 miles. There are people believed dead. They're still finding. The warehouse collapsed in Mayfield, Kentucky. And so, but then they have helping hands to help them. 100% of the proceeds will go to the employees, because the people are without house and without a place to go for Christmas. Then also with the maybe the climate change, there's wind chill power on the mainland, but also then here we were able to have the hooray, we were able to have the Honolulu Marathon. Yay. And people are still running the course. So be careful out in Kahala and Hawaii Kai area. Okay.
Thanks, Shanti.
Sure, sure.
Thanks. God hear our prayers.
God hear our prayer.
Oh, wait, another? Oh, Irene. Go for it, Irene.
Hey, so this is, I'm sorry, this is probably more appropriate for announcements, but just to add to that, that prayer is that if you want to donate to the UCC National Disaster Ministries, which is part of the team that I work on, we are going to be deploying our own UCC VOAD teams to Kentucky this week. So just go on to the UCC website. I can provide a link to the 2021 Severe Storm Fund, and that will participate in relief in Mayfield. So my prayers are with the people of Kentucky. The winds here in Ohio, 500 miles north, were very severe on Friday morning. It woke us all up. So I can only imagine what it was like in Mayfield. So yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Irene. God continue.
Ask for, I'm getting a message that they can't hear.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
Also, I want to ask for continued prayers for Judy Rantala, who is improving. When I saw her yesterday, I told her that we've been praying for her, and she said, well, that must be why I'm getting better. So, God, hear our prayer.
Thanks, Linda. Let us continue in prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. For the hurts we cause others, forgive us. To forgive those who have hurt us, empower us. In times of temptation and tests, strengthen us. From trial too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
On this Thursday, Sunday of Advent, we lit the pink candle for joy. Joy is an emotion that I experience often in my life. I experience it in basketball, with animals, and most recently in participating in the God Promises Christmas 2021 project with the Waianae Assembly of God Church. Basketball is an activity that brings joy to my life because it's something I can focus on. When I play basketball, there's always a skill that I can improve on or a lesson I can learn. Basketball teaches my teammates and I how to work together. When we didn't work together in practices, we usually weren't able to work together in games either, because what a team does in a game reflects on what they do in practice. We learned that we have to take practices as seriously as our games. Basketball is also a team sport, not an individual sport, and it involves players passing the ball to each other. We have to learn to read each other's moves as well as our opponent, and know when a pass is going to be made and be ready to catch it. This is why teamwork is a vital part to the game of basketball. Animals also play a special role in my life. When I'm with animals, it makes me feel carefree and relaxed because I can focus only on that animal and nothing else in life. Being with animals gives me the chance to take a break from the rest of the world, and I think everyone needs breaks sometimes. Finally, when Uncle Roger sent out an email about giving presents to children from families in need, I thought it'd be fun to shop for other kids. After my family and I chose the gifts for the children in one family, I felt joyous in giving because I knew these kids would receive something for Christmas. Knowing that these children would have something to look forward to makes me happy too. For those who are in the sanctuary, please place your offerings in the offering bowls by the entry doors as you leave the sanctuary. You can also send your check to the church office or go to the Church of the Crossroads website. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, help us to see the wonder in your creation, to find the joy amidst the challenges. Help us to celebrate with joy and gladness this Christmas, for in you all things are made new. You work to restore and remake all the broken pieces of our lives and of this world. For in you we can rejoice and be glad. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, your gift to this world. Amen.
Thank you.
more needs to be said. Let us go out into this world. Let us go out into this world. Let us let our actions meet our hearts, and let our hearts be led by the one who gives us a way of love. May that be who we always shall be.
Me ke aloha o ke akua a me kaulana puana o ka uhana he molele me o koa pa.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.